the mouth of the Antichrist, the blasphemy against God and against the true Christ. And he shall be broken without human means. He shall be broken without human means. He will be wiped out along with the false prophet and will be the first one to be cast into the lake of fire. Not Satan, but the Antichrist and the false prophet. Verse 26, and the vision of the evenings and mornings which was told is true. Therefore seal up the vision, for it refers, here it comes, to many days in the future. It refers to many days. This is prophecy concerning the future. Daniel 9. Hope you're not getting too bored. The 70 weeks of Daniel, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem, which Cyrus the Great gave, until Messiah the Prince, when Jesus came into the world, there should be 7 weeks of years and 62 weeks in total. The street shall be built again, and even in troublesome times. But after the 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. Jesus died for our sins, but not for himself. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, some, of course, identify that with Titus, who was the Roman general that destroyed Jerusalem at that particular time in 70 AD. But in the end, there is a reference to the Antichrist. The end of it shall be with a flood. Till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now, here's where the deception of the Antichrist comes in relationship to Israel. Verse 27, then he, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. 1 week of years, 7 years, the tribulation period. And in the middle of the week, in the middle of the tribulation, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering. You know, he pretends to support them in the creation of the tribulation temple. He supports them in actually funding their sacrificial system. And then he says, okay, the game's over. I'm in charge. We'll take over from this point on. In the middle of the week, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, and that is a clear reference to the Antichrist. Even until the consummation which is determined is poured out on the desolate, until God fulfills all that he has planned. Daniel, finally, chapter 11, and we'll close our class with that today. You've had a walk through Daniel. But you've also had a background study to show where much of the vision found here in Revelation 13 comes from. Yes? That's a question that is often asked. We'll deal with that in a later class. There's no direct reference that I know of to the U.S. in these prophecies. But there is an indirect one if you consider something called a transatlantic alliance. So we'll see. That's speculative. Daniel chapter 11. Verses 36 and 37. Then the king, in this case the Antichrist, shall do according to his own will, a willful individual. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god. He shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, himself, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, that is, until God has worked justice here upon the earth. For what has been determined shall be done. That's a phrase that we should not pass over quickly. What has been determined shall be done. God is on the throne. God is in control of history entirely, from beginning to end. Satan's attempts at interrupting the plan of God are simply rearguard actions. They are dust being raised in the air by the evil one. A lot of destructive dust, to be sure, but they have no power in the end to affect change of God's plans, because what he has ordained will come to pass. This man shall regard neither the God of his fathers nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above them all. Now, there have been a lot of charlatans who call themselves God over the course of history. Antiochus the Fourth, Epiphanes, being one of the most notorious in ancient Jewish history. But the fact of the matter is that in the end, if you want loyalty from human beings, You have got to have a position that commands that loyalty. And there is no higher position for a human being to claim that could command that loyalty than the position of God. And that is why the Roman emperors, at the time of the birth of the church in the first century, were also those who practiced and promoted the cult of emperor worship. Because to call the emperor God, or a god, was to command the loyalty of the subjects of the empire at the highest possible level, to view himself as a deity. Well, he's not the only being, or not the only king, not the only emperor. They were not whoever made such a claim. But there is no higher claim that you can make than to be God. That's what Satan's claim. I'll place my throne, we read Isaiah 14, above the throne of the Most High. Not just at the par, but above. I'll take over. So is madness, so is pretension, so is arrogance, so is deceit. So is the attempt to fruitlessly thwart the certain sovereign will of God. But it'll all come to naught, thankfully, in the end, because he is on the throne. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for seeing these several passages from the book of Daniel that point us to the one who is to come, who will play the world dictator role, who will be the puppet under Satan, empowered by him to carry out...